Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Lord's blessings on each one of us. Trust you've all had a good day and been blessed already. The papers, does everyone have papers that are passed out? If you don't have a paper, make yourself known and someone will get. I'll raise your hand if you don't have one. Okay, there's a couple in the back. Okay. If you can just make that, everyone gets a paper. Keep your hands up. They'll get you a paper in the back. Keep your hands up. They'll get you a paper there if you don't have a paper. Very good. Thank you for taking care of that. And you won't need it right away, but after a little while, we'll get to this paper. So you won't need it right away, but hang on to it. This is Thursday afternoon. I've been enjoying the week, and I trust you have too. Everyone remember what happens when we sleep? I'll try to make it enjoyable for you all and say not lull you to sleep if I don't have to. Okay, could we all rise to our feet and pray? Father, we thank you for this great privilege to be together again this afternoon. Lord, we thank you that we can sit under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ, have the word preached day after day. Oh God, I would just ask that the Word of God could fall on good ground again this afternoon. Lord, would you help all of us to just open ourselves to your Word, to try to hear, try to understand. We ask, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Lord, you know all these young people, they do have a desire to serve you. They do have a desire to follow in the ways of Jesus Christ. So just help us. Lord, help me. Give me clear thoughts. God, just help me that I could convey what you've given me to share in a way that we could understand. And ask, Lord, that as we sit at your feet, we can move toward you and you toward us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The title this afternoon, Outreach and Leading a Person Through Conversion. Outreach and Leading a Person Through Conversion. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. I'd like to start there. And I'd like to take a look at a couple verses where there's a specific responsibility being given to each one of us. And I'd like to first of all recognize, before we look at these verses here, I'd like to recognize that all of us here have different giftings, different abilities. We're all different. With our different giftings and abilities, God has given us different burdens. And so as our journey in life moves forward, there are certain things that will become stronger as we follow God. There are things that God will lead us into. But beyond all our gifts and beyond all of those things, there's a responsibility that has been given to everyone here. And I like to look at that. 2 Corinthians, we're going to read in chapter 5. Starting to read in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," and that's where we're at, right? We're in Christ. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Such a blessing, right? That's, I could just preach all afternoon about that. It goes on to say in verse 18, "And all things are of God,
who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now this next phrase is what we want to look at. It says these words, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me read the next verse yet. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What does it mean to be reconciled to God? Anyone? Our sins are written off. We were apart from God. Now we're reconciled to God. And God has given every one of us here the ministry of reconciliation, or helping reconcile others to God. Now, I was trying to think how I could help us think through that. And I'm going to do it this way. And I'm going to need a volunteer from the ladies. I'm going to need a volunteer from the young men. But I'm going to give you $100 bill. And I'm going to ask for a volunteer. But let me tell you what this $100 bill is for. I'm going to give you a responsibility. I'm going to give you a responsibility to use this $100 bill in some way for this purpose. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I don't know what that means to you. But somehow, young men, I want you to use this in some way to help further the gospel and to reconcile someone to God or help in that endeavor. Okay? Who will do that? Young men? Anyone? Okay, can you? Okay. All right, you can go sit down. No, thank you. And I need a sister. Okay. All right. You take it. Now, everyone, you saw the people who got that, right? Okay, they're not going to spend that on hot dogs and other stuff. Right? Okay. I've given them a responsibility to do what? To use that $100 bill in some way to help reconcile people to God. Right? Okay, according to those verses that we just read, it says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's your responsibility. Sisters, that's a responsibility that you have. To be in some way reconciling people to himself. And that can be out on the mission field. It can be local. It can be in the church. It can be so many, many different places. But the Bible says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's our responsibility. Now what are we going to do about it? And it'll work itself out in many, many different ways within the church. Some he sends out. Some he uses in a local manner. In many, many different ways. Let me just tell you that you have the responsibility. Okay, so young man, you have the responsibility. I gave you that responsibility, right? God has given all of you young men the responsibility to help move people to be reconciled to God. Who's willing to accept that? Okay. And let me just, first of all, just acknowledge, I'm saying this not from the aspect of trying to get all of you to go on a mission field. That's not my point. My point is for you to recognize that all of us here have a responsibility. A God-given responsibility to pursue that in some way or another. I would like to, in the beginning here, maybe just share a bit, maybe some of my own personal testimony and things that have been happening in my life and all that. First of all, I'd like to just maybe first put out the idea that there is such a thing as local missionaries. Normally when we think of missionaries, we think way out there. I'd like to suggest that with the whole idea of local missionaries, I have found in my own lifetime and in observing people coming to God that we are the most effective with the people that we rub shoulders with every day. Are you with me on that? We are the most effective with the people we rub shoulders with every day. Now, once a year, you know, we take a coach bus and we load up a bunch of young people and a bunch of parents and we go to New York City and we go out on the streets all weekend long. And we just did it here a couple weeks ago and we, all weekend long, there was around 30,000 tracts that went out and Bibles and some CDs. Around 30,000. And our goal was to spread the gospel. And we talked to a lot of people. And while I think that's good, and it's a blessing to do that, I like to suggest that the most effective way to reach people is the people we meet and rub shoulders with every day. Local missionaries. You know, there was a day when I felt the Lord was calling my wife and I to some overseas missions. In fact, it was soon after we were married, so we prayed and we sought the Lord and endeavoring to find out His will for our lives. We prayed and we even started making some phone calls. And, you know, we were bent on overseas missions. And the Lord as those burdens were coming, the Lord very clearly just sort of closed that door for us. And, well, needless to say, a short time after that, the local church chose me as a leader in the church. And sometimes I still have these burnings to go elsewhere, right? But the Lord has called me locally. Here's one thing I'd like us to consider before I move forward is there's a fair amount of people sitting here, you sitting here, that feel like I'm needy and I need people to minister to me. Do you follow the thought? There are others here who are on the side of who can I reach out to? You see the difference? We have both sitting here, I'm sure. I didn't go around asking, but that's just how it is. All right. There's some of you sitting here that feel like you need people to speak. You know, you want people to come minister to me, to reach out to me. Even though you're converted, you feel like you're struggling. You need people to reach out to you. I mean, that's also how it is for you sisters. I mean, that's how it is. Let me just tell you, even if you're at the place where you feel you're needy, according to this scripture here, you still have a responsibility. Okay? Now, you shouldn't close yourself to others ministering to you, but I like to suggest that there is a need to move forward and to be looking for people who you can reach out to. Some of them might be converted and they're struggling and you need to reach out and help reconcile them to God. Help them walk with God. Others, maybe there's others who don't have salvation. They don't know God. They're lost. And it's helping them move toward God. I'd like to suggest, don't wait until you feel like you're on top of things. Don't do that. God has given you a responsibility.
continue to move forward, local missionaries. It has been a passion of my heart since I've been a young man. A passion to help those around me come to know the Lord. And I remember as a youth, your age, there's a time somewhere in those years that I started praying to God. And I said, God, would you please help me somehow touch other souls and help others come to know you? And I started praying that prayer every day. I started praying that prayer. I never led anyone to the Lord. But God was impressing this on my heart. And I, in response to that, I started praying. I said, God, would you somehow help me? And at the time, I was working at a door manufacturing facility. There was 75 to 100 employees. There's lots of men that I rubbed shoulders with every day. And as time went on, I purposefully became friends with a couple of those men who I knew didn't know God. I purposefully moved toward becoming their friends and endeavoring to listen what was going on in their hearts. And I kept praying that, Lord, would you please help these men get to know you. And I remember the day when it came to the place that, it just felt like he was at the place where he was going to yield his heart to God. And I forget what I said, but somehow I was bashful, right? I wasn't sure how to do it. I didn't know how to lead someone to God. I didn't know how to help someone get born again. So I told him, I said, I think you should find someone who can help you. And I gave someone else's name. And needless to say, a week later, what I thought he was, where he was almost at conversion, I had lost him. The fish got off the hook. Literally. To this day, I don't think he's converted. I meet him on occasion, and his heart had opened up, and I lost him because I didn't move forward myself in just helping him. I moved forward, and there's another young man. There's another young man that I was working with. He was a wild young fella, and he was pretty punky type of guy, and he had one of those haircuts that shaved up the side and just a round mushroom on top. And one day, as I was talking to him, I asked him the question, where do you get your haircuts? And all he was telling me, and I said, oh, I give guys their haircuts too. And he said, do you ever give one like this? I said, no, but I'm sure I could. So not long after that, I had him over at my house. And I had him sitting on a chair. And as he was sitting on the chair, and I was giving him one of those goofy haircuts, guess what was going on? I was sharing the gospel with him in a way that I never had the opportunity before. As time went on, there's another young man that I was working with, and his heart seemed a bit open. And I talk with him. At my break times, I'd go out and I'd talk and share with him. And we'd have lunch together out in my little pickup. And brought him up to the place where he said, yes, I want to become born again. And I said, would you be willing to come over to my place this evening to get right with God? And he said, yes. And I remember that day, it was just soon after we got married. We didn't have any children. But I remember that day, I went home and I was shaking in my shoes. My wife, I excitedly told her what was happening. And that evening at a certain time, this young man came over. And I didn't know how to help him get right with God. And I had some scriptures jotted down.
And I remember it was a summer day. And I remember out on our front porch, I remember sitting there and opening the scriptures one at a time and sharing with him, sharing the gospel with him. And at the end, after we're all finished, I said, "Would you be willing to just confess all your sins to God? Let's just kneel down here. Could you confess all your sins to God? And turn away from those evil things and make a decision to follow God?" And he said, "Yes, I'm willing." And he knelt down there that evening and he prayed to God, and the Lord saved his soul. It wasn't long after that that I moved on to another job. But I still see this man on occasion, and he's faithfully serving God. And it's exciting for me. And I still look back with fond memories at that person that for the first time I led to the Lord. I look at that with fond memories. You know, there's something about just faithfully serving God and being willing to share with other people that come into our path. Sometimes we do things that aren't the wisest. I remember in that time frame sometime, I have a desire to help people. I have a desire to help people come to God. And I remember the evening before July the 4th, I was in my brother-in-law's house. And we were sitting there in his house. I think we might have had one son at the time. But this was the evening, it was July 3rd in the evening. We're going to have off the next day. I was at my brother-in-law's house. Now we were up later at night. And we were sitting in their living room talking. This is middle of the summer. Dark. Late night. Coming up to 11 o'clock, I think. And all of a sudden we heard something. And we realize it's a car spinning its tires or truck or something. Well, this isn't winter. This is middle of summer, you know. And so we walk outside in the porch, and here is there was this man out on the road, across the field out on the road, and it appeared like he was stuck. So my brother-in-law and I, we went out. And we drove out with the vehicle, came there, and here he was. He was trying to turn around in the middle of the road, backed into the ditch, and he was stuck. And so we got the tractor and pulled him out. And in the middle of all this, we were talking. You know, we got his name. We found out where he lived. We were both sharing the gospel with him. We were sharing with him how that he can be delivered from his sins. It was apparent that he was a very sinful, wicked man. It's very apparent. Very, very apparent. He was an older man. And probably in his mid-50s or so. But we knew where he lived. And we were out on the middle of the road. Finally, we said, "Why don't you come on into the driveway?" And we all went into the driveway and we stood in my brother-in-law's driveway. And we were both sharing the gospel with him. And in the middle of all this, he comes to the place where he says, "Hey, I'd like to talk to, you know, one of you privately." And, well, this is about midnight by this time, and who wants to go in a truck with a guy you don't know at midnight privately? And he had some things he wanted to share. Anyhow, both of us were a bit hesitant to do that. He realized our hesitations, and he said, "You know what? I'll tell you what." I said, you can drive my pickup. You know, let's take my pickup here, and you can drive." I thought, okay, well, if I'm behind the wheel, I'm okay. So we crawled into the truck. And you know what was on my mind, right? I was serious about sharing the gospel with this man. And I was serious about helping him get right with God. We're driving down the road and he started talking. And he opened his heart a bit further. And I was taking this big loop. I was going to make this big loop and come back. And we were halfway through, and I realized that it seemed like he was he wasn't as talkative anymore, and he really wasn't opening. So I was on my way back, right? On my way back. And he got real quiet for a while. All of a sudden, he said, "Do you mind if I ask you a question?" I said, "No, that's all right." And he says, "Would you mind if I touched you? Now, what would you do?" After midnight, all by yourself, no one around, out on a dark country road, no people around, and he asked this question. And I realized what was going on, and so I just started praying out loud. For about a mile or two, I just prayed out loud and asked the Lord would protect me. Also prayed that the Lord would help him to see the error of his way. And just prayed out loud. And we were still about 2 miles down the road from my in-law's place. And I stopped praying, and all of a sudden, you know, I was driving. He was in a passenger seat over here. And all of a sudden, he leaned on his left elbow and he put his right hand over on my knee. And I looked at him and said, "In Jesus' name, move over." And he was against the door. You know, I wouldn't do that again, what I did that night. But here's the point. If we're serious about serving God, we're going to do things that sometimes aren't wise. But God's going to be there with us. If we're serious about serving God, God's going to use us. If we're serious about serving God and sharing the gospel, God's going to open doors for us. Local missionaries. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start reading. Just to give you a bit of the context here, this is in the context of a man who was demon-possessed. He was living among the tombs. He was living in an uncontrolled manner. He was naked. And one day, the Lord met him there, and he cast out the evil spirits, and he came into his sound mind, and he was dressed. He came and worshipped, and the people were astounded at what was happening. And Jesus was by the sea, and he was ready to go over across the Sea of Galilee again. He was ready to go. And when Jesus was ready to go, this man wanted to come with Jesus. This man wanted to come with him. But Jesus had some instructions for him. This is what he said. We're going to start reading in verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now when the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, Jesus sent him away. Return to thine own house, and show how great things God has done with thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Let me just tell you that Jesus also promotes local missionaries, as well as he also said, "Go ye into all the world." Turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 16. We'll read a couple verses there. Mark chapter 16, reading in verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Where are we sent? Into all the world, right? Go ye into all the world, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, God has ways of calling people. And one of my sons, he's over in Tanzania, Africa right now. And let me just tell you how it went that the Lord called him to go there. You know, up through the years, you know, we've been in touch with various missionaries. We know quite a few missionaries, but none of us as a family had ever served as a missionary overseas for any length of time. I received a call from, I believe it was Brother Mick Brubaker. I received a call, and he said, there's a need over in Zanzibar, right? And he said, would you have someone in your church fellowship that would be a possibility? And, of course, I thought about my sons, and we just had made some fairly major changes at work, and I was like, that just won't work very well, you know. And so, guess what I did? I mentioned it to the family, but church the next Sunday, I made the grand announcement, you know. There's a need over in Africa for a young man for 2 years to come over there and serve. Now, this isn't even a long-term missionary. This is just for 2 years, right? So, made the nice announcement, and I was hoping that one of the young men would, you know, Lord would sort of knock on his door, right? And anyhow, about a week later, my son Josh, he said, Dad, he said, I think you need to know about this. He said, I don't know what to do with it, but when you made that announcement about that, you know, going to Zanzibar, Africa, he said, I've just been thinking about all that, and I don't know whether God wants me to go or whether he wants me to stay home. But, Dad, I'm giving it to you, and, you know, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Oof. Right? And now he's over there today. Okay? Here's the point. God has ways of calling people in various places, right? Whether it's local or whether it's abroad. Not only that, God has given everyone here this afternoon a responsibility to reconcile people to himself. Okay? Right? That clock. I think we ought to just take it down. Okay, can you get your papers here? What I'm going to do, there's no way to thoroughly go through all this. There's no way to thoroughly go through everything here. But what I have put together is a rough outline. And since that first time that I described, the Lord has given me dozens and dozens and dozens of opportunities to help people get right with Him. And quite a number before I became a preacher, right? All right. So this didn't all start after I was called to be a preacher. But what I put together here is just a rough outline, something that might be helpful for you in helping people get right with God. Okay? And what I'm going to do here, there's about 20 minutes left. What I'll maybe do here is just go down through here quickly, give some of the highlights. And I'd also like to say that God is never put into a box. This is God's business. I can't save anyone, neither can you. We're here, we're called to be stewards, we're called to help reconcile men to Him. And, you know, as time goes on, I'm amazed again and again how God will in some way just help someone to get converted, and sometimes they don't even know what it's called. They don't know what happened, but their life changed, and, you know, just major things happen, and they didn't go through some anyone helping them. And yet, it's a privilege if we can do that. It's a blessing if we can help someone get right with God. Salvation is becoming a new creature, passing from darkness to light, deliverance from sin, brings spiritual connection with God's Word. His Spirit guides us into all truth. It's obedience to the Bible, God's inspired Word. This is what salvation is. Salvation is mortifying the deeds of the body. Salvation is His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Salvation is not this little prayer, and now I'm saved. That's only the doorway into walking with God. Never forget that. Never forget that. Salvation, or becoming born of the Spirit of God, is the doorway into a walk with God Almighty. It's not an end in itself. It's not this ticket that's put out there to be many times. It's only the doorway into a walk with God. So in helping someone to get right with God, I have on here, on the first page, it is sin that separates man from Almighty God. Right? It's sin that separates man from God. They need to understand that it's their sin, their own way, that separates them from God. It's a needful understanding for them to have that salvation will only come to those who see themselves as lost. How can you become saved if you're not lost? A person needs to come to the place where they recognize their lostness before God. Page 2, if you want to go to page 2. Another needful understanding, the consequences of sin is eternal damnation. There's a couple of scriptures there. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's a needful thing that they need to understand. The forgiveness of sins. They need to understand that it's only through Jesus that there can be forgiveness of sins. There's a number of verses there in Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, Romans chapter 3, 24 and 5. Going on to page 3. Counting the cost. Helping a person consider what they will need to give up. Right? They will need to, while salvation is free and it doesn't cost anything, salvation costs everything. It costs everything. And many times a person has been in sin after sin, they've gone their own way. And they need to count the cost, whether they're willing to say no to these sins, whether they're willing to turn away from these sins. They're going to need to evaluate whether they're going to need to change the friends that they have. And sometimes in the world we're living in, they need to separate from a wife or a husband because it's an adulterous situation. Okay? They need to think through these things and be able to evaluate whether they can carry through. And the Bible says that a lot of the seed, as the seed goes out, there's some that falls on shallow ground. And it sprouts up for a little bit and then dies. Isn't there a lot of people that get converted that way? We can help by helping them think through what they need to give up, counting the cost. In salvation, in helping someone get right with God, I'm going to say there's two ultimately primary things that have to happen. There's two things. One is repentance, and the other one is faith. That is at the core of someone getting right with God. Repentance and faith. Don't ever forget that. At the core, repentance and faith. Luke 15 gives the story about the prodigal. Moving on down, Acts chapter 2, at the bottom of page 3, Acts chapter 2 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" See, that's where they are. You know, if you're there and you're talking to them and you're helping them try to understand, you know, what it takes, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then said Peter unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, I'd like to specifically point out, in this verse right here, it says, "Repent and be baptized." And in Mark 16:16, it says, "Believe and be baptized." Repent and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Go on to page 4 quickly. Confession of sins. Confession of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sin, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Can you tell me what the word confess means? What does confess mean? Say with your mouth. Say it out loud. I'd like to suggest that this is an important point. It's important that a person confesses his specific sins. Okay, so if a person says, "God, would you forgive me my sins?" Is that confession? No, it's not. Confession is opening our mouth and saying the sins. Ultimately to God. But if you look at John chapter 3, verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." There's something about a man or a woman that's trying to hide their sins. If a person's trying to hide their sins, they'll never get right with God. They won't. They're walking in darkness. They don't want their sins to come to the light. Confession of sin. Drop down, number 2, or at the bottom of page 4, "Believe on Jesus for your salvation." I remember a number of years ago, praying with a man, and I had shared a bunch of scriptures with him. Then he had just openly confessed his sins. And then when we knelt down to pray, and he confessed all his sins to God. One at a time, he just confessed them all to God. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. I don't know how long it was, but it was for quite a while. Confessed and he confessed. And after he was sort of through and everything was quiet, I asked him the question, "So, did Jesus wash your sins away? And you should have seen his reaction. He literally, with both fists, he beat the floor. And he said, here I go again. He said, I've confessed my sins to God time and time again. And I don't know. I don't know if they're washed away. A lot of people struggle to believe what the Bible says when it touches something that really affects them. Right? Okay? So, let's just look at what the Bible says. In 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess, let's just read this. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we believe that, right? We believe that. Okay. This is something that I'm apt to do if a person is struggling with just simply believing what the Lord has done for him in that area. I ask him the question. So tell me this. Do you believe that Adam was the first man? Do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Because the Bible says so. Yeah, you believe it because the Bible says so. Do you believe that Cain and Abel were the first two boys and Cain killed Abel? Do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Okay. Do you believe that Noah entered into the ark with his three boys and their wives and that water literally filled the whole earth and killed everyone else? Do you believe that? Come on now. I mean, you weren't there. I mean, you've never seen anything even close like that. Do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Right, okay. If you take a couple simple things like that, then you ask the question. Simply say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? Do you believe if you confess all those sins that God actually washes them away? Well, not sure. I think so. Would you follow the disconnect? Okay, it's easy to believe something that the Bible says back there, but when it touches me personally, it's often harder to believe. So, repentance is turning away from all our sins. It's confession our sin. It's confession of our sins. Faith is believing God for my salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Faith is believing God in what he says. His word says, if we confess our sins, then he'll wash our sins away. It's sin that separates us from God. And if the blood of Jesus washes our sins away, right? If that sin is removed, and in Revelation the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him. Okay? So, the sins are washed away. There's been a clear decision to follow God. There's been a clear decision to turn away from the world, the sin, all those things that I've been in. And there's a decision to surrender my will to the Bible, to his authority, and to serve him the rest of my life. Faith is believing God. Faith is simply believing God that if he says, I'll open the door and ask him to come in, that he will come in. But a lot of people go by emotions and feelings, right? Now, we don't here. But, right? There's this, okay, they're done praying, and you say, did God wash your sins away? I don't feel any different. Do you get the point? Where does it talk about those feelings? Faith is simply believing what the Bible says, right? If we repent, confess, we turn away, we ask Jesus to come in, and there's more scriptures in there. I can't go through them all, okay? But scripture says if we ask for him to come and fill us with the Holy Spirit, that he does, right? And then faith is, this is simply believe that, oh, he has washed my sins away. I've made a choice to serve him, so I must be his child. Feelings, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not, right? But repentance and faith is a decision. This journey, and I'm sure that many of you know this, salvation is not a journey of feelings. Our feelings, they go up and they go down and they go up and they go down. But that's not how God does. God is just, you know, he does what he says. If we've repented and ask him to come and we've made a decision to obey him and follow him, then he's there, right? He's there. And he empowers us to do his will. That's a blessing. Sometimes our feelings go up, but next day we're down. Now, you know, the goal is to not have more of that than, you know, we have to. But God doesn't draw away and come closer based on our feelings. It's based on us doing what he says. If we do what he says, then he will also do what he says to us. In page 5, after explaining a lot of these things, on the bottom of page 5 is simply kneeling together with them, praying to God, allowing them to confess their sins one at a time. The next page, page 6, choosing to believe that God has washed the sins away as he said he would. Invite Jesus in. Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Express a willingness to obey God and his word the rest of your life. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Let's look at page 7, the last page. Give instruction how to walk in this new life. It is a work of God. He is the one who will give the witness of the Spirit. We can never give the person assurance of salvation. Point them to the clear word of God and help them choose to believe, walking by faith, not by feelings. Baptism is commanded to those that have clearly repented and believed. Give instruction to read the Word of God consistently for spiritual growth and nourishment. Learning to live in victory over sin, walking in the Spirit, entering into the Sabbath rest of God. The new birth is only the doorway into the new transformed life, walking in obedience to God and His Word. Joining ourselves to a local church body, as the Scripture teaches us, is of great importance. You know, there's this move out there today that, you know, churches are full of hypocrites, and I can be a Christian and just be out there by myself. Let me just tell you, it doesn't work that way. There's a reason that God has ordained us to fellowship within a local church body. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, the church is just full of hypocrites. Well, you know what my response is to that? I'll tell them, I would rather be in a church with some hypocrites than in hell with them. Right? It's God's will. And if we help someone get born again, get right with God, we have a responsibility to be discipling them. You know, at our work, it has been our policy, and it's just a known thing at our work, that at work, we're here to help each other spiritually. And over the years, there are a number of people that have gotten converted at work. At work. Every break, we have prayer. We have prayer together at break. Just recently, about 2 months ago, there's a young man in his 20s from the local area got converted, and we're still discipling him. He's going to some local church close to where he's at, but he got converted. His father is also desiring to get right with God. Why? Because it's the atmosphere, and we talk about these things. You know, these guys didn't grow up in the church. They didn't grow up knowing God. They grew up knowing very little about this Word of God. Okay, I gave them the responsibility to somehow use those $100 bills for the furtherance of the kingdom somehow. It's up to you how you want to do that. Ask God how to do that. In the same way, God has given all of us a responsibility to be in some way. Maybe you're reaching out to a sister in church. Maybe you're reaching out to your neighbor. Maybe you're reaching out to your sister, your little sister in the home, or your little brother in the home. See, it's so vast. But God has given us the responsibility of reconciliation. May the Lord help all of us as we endeavor to serve Him.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.